Well, for the sake of having enough to eat, I thought, I went to Lockheed and I put in my application. It just so happened they needed me. They needed somebody then. And they trained me again. It's the only kind of job that I'll ever be able to hold is one where I was only 27, so I was still accurate and fast and willing and able to learn. And so they taught me. They put me in the print shop, and I had to run ditto and collate and make up schedules, you know, the ones that we had printed and collated. We put them together and made books. But I had to work nights, and it was very hard on the kids because I had to hire a stranger to take care of them. And she made as much money or more than I did. And by working nights, she just she came in at 3:30 and put the kids to bed at 7, and I didn't get home till 1, and so she really didn't do very much, and I was pretty tired. So when I ended up, I decided I'd better really find out if I was making any money, and I wasn't.
Was your husband also working?
He was a fireman, and he worked 24-hour shifts on duty, 24 hours off duty. So, you see, when he was gone 24 hours, I had to have a lady. And then I had to find somebody who would go along with that schedule. But when she worked 3 days out of the week, she made a little bit more than I did that week. And then I still had to pay I joined a carpool and lunch, you know, over there. And then I had to get up at 7 in the morning to feed the baby. Jeannie was just a little tiny thing, 18 months, I think. And I felt sorry for him. I felt sorry for the two, especially at 3:30 when I had to go off and leave him. It killed me. So a few times I'd cry, you know, on my way to work. And so finally, my husband just was getting awfully nervous, too, because the house was going down and the kids were getting on his nerves. And I could see that he was very, very jumpy. And I quit. So we'd had a fight, in fact, a real bad one. And I realized that it was because I was working. So I told him, okay, I'll quit. And I won't work ever again. Because I was trying to help you, and you won't help me, and you don't want me to work. So I'll stay home, and now it's up to you. Because anyway, I think I cleared about $12 a week after paying a babysitter and my own expenses at work. And Lockheed pays well for the times. But I cleared, cash, 12. So what could you do with $12 a week? And I was killing myself. Again, production. You have to produce. You have to do so. You have to, they count everything you do. So I never worked again. And now the valley has grown. So, yeah, as large as it is, and then I go out now at my age, and they ask me, where have you been working? And I tell them, well, I've been home. And it's hard for them to believe that I could stay home all these years and not work. So I don't have any recent references. And I don't think that they believe me. My stomach's... It's true. So it is true. I just have to... I have to hope and pray that somebody will just give me a part-time job somewhere.
I want to talk to you more about that after we turn off the tape.
Right.
Because I have some ideas. I'd like to go back and ask you as a teenager going to high school, working at Avion, and then the years directly after that, if your mother was very strict about what you could do and what you couldn't do as far as how much freedom you had to come and go.
Well, I was working again. You know, I stayed home for 2 weeks. My mother was already beginning to look at me. I had saved a little bit of money, so I was stretching that. I mean, I didn't pay her room and board those 2 weeks, but since I wanted to work in an office, I wanted to buy a few clothes, so I went out and bought a few. I don't know where I ever got the idea that I could work in an office. I didn't know. I was dumb. What the real requirements were. If I had known, I don't think I would have tried. I would have stayed in a defense plant. And, I mean, like, maybe tried harder to go to Douglas or even Lockheed. Because a lot of women did. That's probably what I should have done, but I just didn't know. Anyway, I went to work at Sterling. And, of course, immediately, my problems began with men. As far, I mean, here's a young girl, and she's trying so hard to learn, and big smile all the time, and pretty soon, I was 18, and it wasn't long before the married men were asking me to go out on dates with them, just because I worked there. And of course, I wanted to date, but not married men. And I went out a few times with some of the young men who were not married, but they were very boring. The real problem turned out to be that these girls that were working at Sterling were married women who were secretaries working. Now, some of them, the majority of them, were saving money to buy a home for to have when their husbands came back. They were loyal. But then there were some who were not. And, of course, they would invite me to go out with them on a Saturday night. Boy, they were wild. Drink, now this is where the liquor comes in. I had never drunk, I had never smoked. I was as green as I could be. But I wanted to belong. So, talk about my mother worrying, of course. I was so happy when the girls offered me cigarettes, because I thought, well, a secretary, you know, have a cigarette with her. So I started to smoke, and then, of course, we started to go out on a Saturday night, and that was, I didn't know, you know, that they drank as much as they did, and they were wild. I mean, by then it was, what was it, 43? They'd given up. They were at a different level. They were tired of waiting for their men. They were not like me. I mean, I was still mooning. They had given up. In fact, one girl's husband had been missing in action. And she waited a year and then started dating. And she asked me to go out with her. But I found out I couldn't keep up with her and her crowd because they were drunk. I started saying they were drunks. They didn't drink during the week. They drank on the weekends. And they went with men, you know, away. I mean, they picked up with strangers. And I thought, boy, they're going to get in trouble. They're heading straight for trouble. I knew that. And I couldn't handle it. I really could. I couldn't handle liquor. I didn't like strange men. I was afraid. I was, you know, we went out once. We went to they call it the drunkard. And anywhere you went, they congregated around you. I don't know where they came from and who they were. But they were looking for women. And, of course, if you were out on the loose like that, they figured that you were available. And so I got out of a real tight spot, really bad one time, because as a group we went out to dinner with these strangers. Well, you don't just go out to dinner with them. They wanted to go on. And I said, no. I needed to, none of them really. They just wanted to have fun and then get back in their car. I think a few of the girls did go. I don't know how anybody could do anything like that. But those times were different. Maybe they're doing that today, I don't know. But that's dangerous. And so Winnie and I got away. She was driving, so I stayed very close to her. But she had to call somebody to come and get us out. It was that bad. They were not going to let us go. My hands are cold just thinking about it. Because I felt like I was in a noose, you know? And I didn't know what in the world was going to happen. So I told Winnie that I wanted to go home. So Winnie was a little bit apprehensive then too. And so she called somebody who came, and it was a man, who came and took us out bodily, let us out. And they called us every name imaginable as we walked out. So my mother was waiting for me, you know. It was 1 o'clock, the lights were on. And after that experience, and my mother suspicious at home, Winnie dropped me off and drove off, and everything looked bad. And she was just up, you know, very upset. And I told her, don't worry, Mother, I'm not going out with her anymore. And as long as I stayed away from the women who were definitely on the loose, they were married women who were tired of waiting for their husbands, who felt that their husbands were cheating on them anyway, and they were going to cheat on theirs and just have themselves a good time. And this is the environment that I walked into socially at Sterling. You know, everybody did their jobs, but then there was always these little plans it could have gotten bad. But I just never got into a bad situation. I didn't have any relation sexually relationship with anybody. I eventually went along with a group of girls, with a group of married men, to the Los Angeles Athletic Club. I'll bear all. I felt very wicked. And I guess I was beginning to give in, you know? And these old codgers, listen, they were brains, you know. I didn't know that they were so smart. I mean, they were executives. They were just having a good time. They wanted to be seen with young girls. But at least since we worked there, I don't think that they dared go too far because they were afraid of their reputation. And I guess that I think there were about 4 men that, I don't know, they were maybe mad at their wives or something, invited us to go to the athletic club. And by then, I guess my own standards had started to slide too, and the other girls went, so I went too. But that's all it was. It was just dinner. Still, I felt, you know, here I go, straight down, you know. I was worried about myself. Don't think I wasn't. Still, I guess there's something in me that's very straight-laced. and there is a wall that I put up. And they all know it. Everybody knows it, that they can't get beyond that wall. And nobody ever did. Nobody. So my husband, you see, I put up the wall when I met my husband. I didn't know anything about him, and I wasn't going to get involved with him. But he was very persistent, and more persistent than anybody I had known up to that point, who had all his that I thought he was so grand, you know, he's so handsome and so smart and so perfect. And then with everybody pushing me into thinking that, you know, he's perfect, he's wonderful. Again, here was a man who could get me out of Sterling, I think, and out of that mess that was beginning, that was kind of revolting. And a lot of the girls ended up getting fired. Women are the ones that pay, anyway. If they allowed themselves to allow their reputations to become smeared, they got fired. The men didn't, you know. They went on. Oh, I guess if they got too bad, and if they were lecherous enough, and if the women complained enough, then I did hear of one who was fired much later. But these were adult gangs, you see. And I think it's worse now. I don't know what the story is, but I think women are aggressive, don't you? Because I find that now with my husband, when he's had several illnesses where he's been in the hospital, and some of the cards that he got, I was shocked at what the girls from the different offices and the vendors would write, you know, and so I guess anything goes if you let it. Pressure, I think. I don't know. When I worked at Sterling, the fellows didn't put a heck of a lot of pressure. I mean the married men. But if the girls looked like they were willing to go out with them, they knew that they could ask them and go out. But if the girls became too loose or too wild or too gabby, you know, they were fired. And of course, they had to go because they had tainted reputations. So I just made up my mind I was not going to be a part of that. I wanted to go out with my head high. And I invited everybody to my wedding. And that's why I did it. Everybody was invited to my wedding. And that was to show them that I had, you know, nothing to hide. And again, I had already decided that I didn't want to go on with the girl that was working with me wanted my job, and I knew it, and I probably should have stayed, but I didn't. I probably should have gone to classes, taken some shorthand, and gone on up the ladder. I mean, in the office, you know, but I never did.
What was your sister doing during those years when you were in your last years of high school?
Well, she's 5 years older than I. So it was just her bad luck. Now, she was one who got married just before World War II started. She married June of 41. And he was already in the service. So he would come on leave and go, you know. He was still in the area.
And she...
So she got pregnant.
Was she living at home?
Still? She stayed home.
And how old was she when she was married?
Well, let's see. I think she was about 22. Mm-hmm. And she was working and contributing to the house when she got married. And I think she expected to move, but with him in the service, she stayed home. And when she got pregnant, there was a little problem, you know, because I was so happy because I thought, oh, now she'll move. I was childish. I didn't know that there was no place for her to go with a child. But she had the baby, and of course we were crazy about the little boy. Still, I wondered why she didn't move. That's sister stuff, you know. I didn't know how much he was sending home, but after a while I realized that the fellows weren't making much money. When she had her baby, she stayed home with the baby. She didn't work any longer. So I assumed that her husband was sending enough money to support her and her child. I never knew how much he sent home. But the example that she gave me strengthened my resolve not to get married, because I thought, so I get married and I have a baby and I stay home too. Maybe he, you know, where will he be? And so she never did move out. He came home. He was one of the last to come home. Towards the end of 45, in fact, my mother bought a house. My sister followed us wherever we went. My mother moved to a bigger house because she had a child, and she needed a bedroom of her own. And she was making good money at Continental Can. So she got a bigger house for Stella's sake. And then, of course, she saved a lot of her money because she wanted to buy a house, which was very smart, because somebody bought the house that we were living in and evicted us. They served notice, you know, that we had to move because they wanted the house. That's why they bought it. And this is the reason why I was giving her money too, you know, because she knew that she was going to have to buy a house. And so she didn't quite have enough money then for the down payment. And so she kept telling them, I'm not quite ready yet, but she was looking. So we stayed, 6 or 8 months, which was a long time, every month, you know, when are you moving, when are you moving? And it was miserable. So she finally bought a house closer to her work. And I thought, you see, by then I was already working at Sterling. And I was getting a little bit tired of my sister and her little boy, you know. I thought they should move. And I felt like I was in partnership with my mother, because I had been giving her all this money, and it was she and I working. And my grandmother, my sister, and her little boy were home. So it was my mother and I supporting that house. Costella didn't give anything, I found out later. She needed it for herself and her child. And you can understand why I didn't want to get married or have a child until I could move away and establish my own home. But I didn't want to leave my mother in the lurch either. So she complained a lot about the responsibility. It scared her. Mm-hmm. It's frightening for a woman. At any level, it's a responsibility, a big responsibility to become a homeowner. Because then you're responsible for that home, the repairs, and everything. And here we are, four women in this home. And my sister was still there, so we were, you know, still, struggling, I guess. And I felt guilty a little bit when I got married, because by then, though, my brother-in-law had come home, and he moved in with us. And he never moved out. He and Stella had a lot of problems. Now, she was one who did not run around. That's the funny part of it. I guess we don't have that much, we don't think we can do it and get away with it. I think that's our problem, you know. We feel we're going to be terribly punished. So she didn't run around at all. She must have been so bored, must have been awful for her. And so she had her bitterness and her problems. So what does he do when he comes home? In fact, he didn't send her any money for the last year or so. He'd cut her off completely. I think he meant to get a divorce, because there was a lot of rumors when in the service in the South Pacific or wherever they were, that all the wives were having themselves a good time, and not one was faithful, and that was the story. So that was her lot. He came home, and although he came to our house with his gear, I remember when he came home, just dumped everything down. Stella didn't even know he was coming home. He didn't even let her know. I think he meant to surprise her with somebody. And she knew that he was about to come home, and she didn't know what to expect. But anyway, they fought bitterly because he accused her of being unfaithful. And he even accused, he didn't think that that was his child. After all, he'd been gone for 4 or 5 years, 4 years, I guess. And the child was conceived within 6 months, and he never saw that child. But it just happened that that little boy looks exactly like him. You know, so it is.
Now, was he
but Stella resented that. And she probably should have left him, but again, because of our divorce background, our parents were divorced, she didn't divorce him. And she's still in my mother's house. And she's tough now. And now he's got to pay, you know, for what he did to her.
They're still married.
Well, if you can call it a marriage. It's they have, what is it, separate bedrooms. She works at the May Company, and she's the boss. My mother has given her the house. It's her house. And if he wants a roof over his head, he does as she says. Oh, she's mean. But she won't have a thing to do with his family. And that's the story of my sister's life, where she was very submissive and, you know, quiet and all. Boy, she came out like a lion. And now she's the boss over there.
Did she have more children?
No way. No way, no. No, she would not have another child. I can't blame her. So she had a different life than I did. Yeah, sure. But, you know, his father was German, so there you have the, what do you call, you know, they're mixed people. And I do, they say that people who are mixed are a little confused. I think my kids probably end up being confused. I didn't know this. My poor kids.
Maybe that's why we're all confused. We're all so mixed.
Well, I tell my kids, well, gee, honey, where else can you find a person who's Dutch and English and Irish and French and Spanish? And now my husband's a little Cherokee, has a little Cherokee Indian in him. And if I have any Indian blood, I don't know what their names are over there, see, from South. So they have a little Indian blood, but we don't know how much. And the Cherokee, they have pictures of the grandmother who was a real Cherokee Indian on in a reservation. But yet they don't look Indian. You know, they don't have a... I don't see it, but yet other people do. Now, perhaps you could pick out some of I think the golden skin. My husband has golden skin and pretty green and sort of a hazel eyes, and I think that is a little bit on the, you know, the Cherokee side. But that's strong blood, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Anyway, what's going to happen to me when I go back into the fray?
You'll be fine.
I have a tendency to identify with people like you because I spent so many years trying to. And I've lost track of my heritage. And so there, I have a little problem there. I don't know if it's worth going back and since they're all dead, if they were alive, then I would have a lot of guilt feelings. But there is no one in Latin America that I have to be loyal to. So I'm free. I'm free. But somebody else is not free of their own prejudice. And I have to be wise enough to respect that. If it's there, I'll know. And I'll leave them alone. And there's a lot of prejudice. But there should be a lot of prejudice against our enemies, such as the Japanese, that we all stood up to and fought. And yet they have overcome those prejudiced feelings. So I always think of that, and I think, well, if they can do it, I can do it. But you know, it's hard. Most of my friends did, though. All of them. They're all working. The reason why you find me here is because I decided not to work. Now, when I worked at Lockheed, I was treated fine. You know.